Very thank the Lord tonight to be here again. It would have been different, you know.
That's crazy.
Yes, it could have been different. Lord, help us not take it for granted that it just had to be this way. It could have been different. I thought yesterday, last night, I believe it was, someone said about the brother Glidewell's brother dying suddenly with a heart attack, and thought of the different ones that we know that went so quickly, different tragedies that occur so suddenly, that we surely do feel that every day we're spared and well and blessed as we are, and even the privilege to come out to gather to worship, surely it is nothing but the blessings of the Lord upon us.
Amen.
So tonight we appreciate this and feel like surely to Him we owe all of the praise and glory for sparing your life. Every time I say that, I feel a real challenge to say too that we want to be ready, willing to go when the Lord calls us. Folks, I believe that. I believe we should be ready and willing to go when the Lord calls and helps us to know He's going to take us. But until then, we surely want to thank Him and appreciate life. The Lord gives us physical life. In Him we live, Him we move, and Him we have our being. Jesus said He come that we might have life. St. John 10:10, we might have it more abundantly, spiritual life. So surely we owe Him the credit, the glory, the praise for our spiritual and physical life. We desire your prayers. Trust the Lord will help us now as we look into a few thoughts of His Word, that it will some way, somehow, challenge and benefit us tonight. The Lord knows all about us, and He knows how to help us even with these thoughts that we might think right at the beginning that we just don't need them, but we do need them.
Yes.
So may the Lord help us. Now let's turn over here to 26th chapter of Matthew. We surely desire your prayers now. Pray for me and pray for you too, that the Lord will bless us as we need individual blessings and help. St. Matthew 26 and 14, maybe we will begin. Read a few verses. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. Jesus, of course, talking about. And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now the first day of the week, the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And as he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. Maybe that's far enough. That's from the 14th through the 25th verse of St. Matthew, the 26th chapter. Now we notice here that Judas had betrayed the 30 pieces of silver. He coveted it with the chief priests and so on to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. He sought opportunity to betray him. The time came when they was eating the supper, and Jesus, as he sat down with the 12, 20th verse, and as they did eat, while they were eating. It seems as I read this, I can just feel it almost in my being to be there. To be seated there with those 12 disciples and Jesus and what was about to happen here. And he said, and as they did eat while they were eating, he said, verily, or truly, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. This is a terrible thing. This is a terrible thing to have to say. Terrible news to give these disciples. But nevertheless, this was the time, surely, that it was to be known unto them, and they were exceeding sorrowful. It seemed like if I'd have been there, it just makes me feel like weeping tonight. To know that he had to tell them that one of them was going to betray him. One of them. One of you, he says, one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one, notice, every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? He made it known who it would be that shall betray him. He that dippeth me in the dish, you say, shall betray me. And so on. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And so on. Now to me, this was a sad time. This was a sad thing to have to say. Nevertheless, it was existing. It was true. And Jesus made no mistakes. He surely felt right. This was the very time to say to these disciples, one of you are going to do it. But the thought that I want us to notice too now, as we think about this, they were sorrowful. It said exceeding sorrowful. Like I say, I just feel like if I was there, I don't know, it just, every time I read this, I feel like weeping more than anything else. And no doubt they wept too. They were sorrowful. You get exceeding sorrowful, it seemed like tears began to flow. I don't know what they did about weeping, but I know it said they were exceeding sorrowful. And began. From that statement on, no doubt they began to question. It says, and began every one of them. This makes me to know that they each one began to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Now, I was impressed with this so much this afternoon. They didn't begin to say, is it going to be Sister King? Is it going to be Peter? Is it going to be John? Is it going to be James? But they began to say, is it I? Is it I? And you know, today, I feel you and I, it's needful that we be asking the Lord the same question. Taking things to ourselves, not looking about on others. Well, are they going to do so-and-so? I feel the most needful thing we can do is take it right to ourselves. Amen. Is it I? I feel like this is a pretty good example. For me to look over myself and say, will it be Sister Grace out here do so-and-so? Is it going to be Sister Nielsen do so-and-so? Or Brother Benson over here do so-and-so? But is it I? Is it I? Going to be I. I'm thinking of a text over in Matthew, the 24th chapter, down about the 12th verse, you know. We want you to remember that to betray don't only mean sell. Here, I believe we read here, it says, and he coveted for with him for 30 pieces of silver. Oh, we say we'd never do that. No doubt the one in this house wouldn't. And maybe no else one would have except the one that done it, Judas. And we'd never do that. But remember, betray means more than just go out and sell someone 30 pieces of silver. Betray means to be unfaithful. Just remember that. Betray means to be disloyal. That's what it means. That's what Webster tells me. Unfaithful, disloyal. And I fear that there are a lot of unfaithfulness to the Lord today. A lot of disloyal conduct and actions to our Lord and our Master, our Savior and our King. And these disciples, they begin to say, is it I? And I feel like today it's so good for us. I was over in the 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. We'll find the 5th verse. But listen, someone now turn and read the 12th verse of Matthew 24. Let's see what it says.
24:12.
Matthew 24 and 12. Is it I? Is it I? All right. Now, because iniquity shall abound, doesn't it say?
Yes.
Because iniquity, we know what iniquity is. Iniquity, I don't have to term it, but just say it's great sin. It's evil. It's unrighteousness. That's what iniquity is. It's surely not good. It's surely not righteousness. But iniquity is unrighteous, it's evil, it's sin, because it's abounding, because it shall abound. This is some of the events before the coming of the Lord the second time. I believe that's the truth at this setting here. And because it shall abound, we have to face fact, it is abounding. Folks, I say I'm past 64 years old, and I don't remember such a day and time as we have in today. I told Clifford and Brother Clifford and Sister Patsy coming down, I said, we take our government. I believe I mentioned to them, or it was Chuck and Quita. I've never known, and I'm sure this is not the first time the government and the president and so on hasn't been just perfect in every way, but I've never seen a time we take that one phase, and we're not preaching politics either. I've never seen a time it's come to what it has just today. I've never. That's right. They've been some assassination. They've been some terrible things happen. But to actually say it's come like it has today, I've never seen it. I've never seen so much adultery, so much loose living, so much ungodly dress. I've never seen so much wickedness abounding in my time as there are today.
That's the truth. Oh, but it's going to get worse.
That's what I'm trying to tell people. I tell my family, my daughter-in-law says, oh, Mimo, little girl calls me Mimo. She said, you just make me scared when you keep telling us that. Well, I said, children, it's true. You just as well take heed and give heed. It's going to get worse. And because it's abounding, what's going to happen?
The love of many shall wax cold.
The love of many shall. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, folks, is it I?
Yes.
Is it I?
No.
We want you to think about this. You may think you don't need this, but I hope I'm not missing the mark tonight. Is it I? We are living in the day of time, folks. I believe it's the hardest thing for people to say I'm wrong. It's the hardest thing for people to turn the focus, the light, floodlight right down in our soul. But is it I? We think of others, what they're doing, what they have done, what they might do. But is it I? This is just a lesson to me when these disciples, they didn't say, was it going to be Matthew? Is it going to be John or who? But they begin to say, is it going to be I, Lord? The Lord knew who it was. And so because iniquity shall abound, it is abound, it's going to get worse, as Brother Wilson said. We see it. We don't have to question, you reckon this is going to be so? Do you really think it will? We see it getting worse all the time. Folks, we have to face facts on it. That's right. Not just by the decade, not just by the score of years, but almost daily. Because this is happening, now the love of many is going to wax cold. What kind of love? It's not talking about love of the world. It's talking about the love of God in our heart is going to wax cold. The great abound of iniquity is going to affect people. One way and one avenue, one channel or another. It's going to affect people. And the love of God is going to gradually, it may gradually wax, I believe wax could mean that to tell me, is going to wax cold. You remember over there in one of the churches in Revelation when they had, I believe it said they left their first love, didn't it? Sometimes someone said they lost it, said no, it didn't say lost, it said left it. They just left the first love. Something enticed them, induced them, something drove them away, they left their first love. What happened? Jesus said, if you don't repent because you're neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. If I remember correctly now, I haven't read that quite a while. He says, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth and except you repent, I'll come and move your candlestick. I believe that's the way he answered him, was it not? That's about it. So in other words, we see how It affects and what it means and how the Lord is displeased when our love waxes cold. But is it I? Is it I? Is my love going to wax cold? Am I going to let the conditions of this world today, am I going to let the unrighteous, ungodliness, the failures, and the sin and evil that's abounding in every channel and avenue that's abounding affect me, that my love is going to wax cold? Is it I going to be one of them? Don't have to be. That's the good news we want you to remember. It don't have to be. The Word teaches us to keep ourselves in the love of God. The Lord never gave us a command that could not be done. Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep thyself pure. Keep thyself unspotted from the world. Because iniquity is abounding in this old world, the love of many is going to wax cold. We see it on every side.
Yeah, it is doing it.
It is doing it. It's doing it today. We're in that day, dear ones. Now, let's read the next text. It's so encouraging before we leave this spot.
But he that shall endure unto the end.
You see, it's so possible. It is just so possible we can endure to the end.
The same shall be saved.
The same shall be saved. But he that endures. Endure what? Endure the temptations, the trial, the testing, your adversities, opposition, and persecuting, whatever it's going to come our way because of all of this that's existing in the world today. But when we endure without giving down or giving over to the wrong or being affected or letting our love grow cold, dear ones, wax cold, he, when he endures and goes through on a level with God and the love of God burning in our hearts and the joy in our soul and victory in our heart, he that endure when, for a little while, a few years, almost to the end, but to the end. Oh, I'm thankful for that tonight. This gives me courage. This makes me happy. The Lord told me that because the victory is abound, the love of men is going to wax cold, but he told me too that if we endure the end, we shall be saved. Thank God tonight. But is it I? Is it I? There's another little text over in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and I believe the third verse we would like you to read, someone. Again, we're warned. 2 Thessalonians, second chapter.
Alright,
let no man, a lot of deception in the world today. And he says over in 1 Timothy, I believe it is, the third chapter, the perilousness of time, he said, and evil men and seducers. That's people that's going to be out deceiving shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's what the Word teaches us now. We're living in that time now.
We're right there
now. Deceiving and being deceived. Is it I? Am I going to let myself be deceived? Is it I?
God help us.
Yes, God do help us. All right, let's read on.
Let no man deceive you by any means.
By any means. Under any circumstance, by any means, folks. Now, this is a command to us. I say to us, it wasn't just to the Thessalonian brethren. If I was going to put it back there, I wouldn't get a thing out of that. But let no man deceive me and deceive you by any means, through any channel, on any circumstance. And what else?
For that day shall not come.
That day, the last day,
yes.
The coming of the Lord. That day is not going to come. It shall not come until what happens?
Except there be a falling away first.
Except there be a falling away first. Is it I? Is it I? Will I be one fall away? Don't have to. Just don't have to. Folks, let's remember that. Don't have to. But remember, some people are going to fall away. That end is not going to come. That day is not going to come. Except there come a falling away first. And by any means, don't let no man deceive you. But remember, it's going to come a falling away first. Have we ever seen anything like that? Are we seeing anything like that?
Yes.
Don't it look like that we're living in that day?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, I say again, dear ones, I think we should turn the light right down in our hearts and be challenging our own soul. Is it I? I've seen folks fall away. I don't know of anything any sadder. I've lived at a place, I've watched several. Over through a period of a few years, just gradually, we've just seen them going down, down, down. Maybe talk to them, try to help them. Yet going, just gradually going down, down. Today they're in the cesspool. Is it I? The disciples said, Lord, is it I? Somebody's going to be unfaithful. Somebody's going to be disloyal. He said, somebody's going to betray me. Judas done it for 30 pieces of silver. And we think, oh, I wouldn't do that for anything. But remember, it don't just only mean selling for 30 pieces of silver. Disloyal and unfaithful. A lot of unfaithfulness to the Lord today. People usually make all kind of excuses. That's another sad thing I see. People excuse themselves when they fail God. Blame it on other people. Lord, help us. That day is not going to come except to come a falling away first. It should shake us. It should stir us. It should cause us to examine ourselves. I think the little text is 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. If you had it, might be good to read it. We want someone to get Zechariah, the 13th chapter, and we'd like to have about the 8th and 9th verse. But let's read 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and the 5th verse, if you have it.
Examine yourselves.
All right. Examine yourselves.
Whether you be in the faith.
Whether you be in the faith, examine means to test. Prove yourself. Test out ourselves. Examine yourself. Inspect our own selves. Our life, our affections, our attitude, our heart, our doings, and so on. I think it's good for us to do this often, dear ones. Do we very often examine ourselves? You know, people examine other people too much today. People examine other people. This, it doesn't say examine your brother. Examine, it said examine ourselves, doesn't it say, Brother Wilson?
Yeah.
Examine yourself. You see, we're commanded to do this for ourselves. We don't need to be selfish, but this is one time we better be taking note to ourselves, considering ourselves. Examine yourselves.
Whether you be in the faith.
Prove yourselves. Listen, folks. Now, we just right offhand, we don't want to think whatsoever we're not in the faith. And I certainly wouldn't say we're not, but are we being faithful? Are we being true? Whether you be in the faith, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. No doubt in our mind, this means the doctrine of the Word of God. But, oh, are we standing true? Prove yourselves. Bring forth fruit, as the apple tree said to the beautiful maple that was rattling the leaves so much, you know, and the wind was blowing those beautiful maple leaves, the little legion said, and I don't remember if I remarked about it here or somewhere, and the maple said to the little legion went on to say, it brings a thought, said to the apple tree, said, why don't you have some beautiful leaves? The rattle draw the people, and they said, we bear the fruit. So tonight, prove yourselves, as said, by bearing the fruit. Lord, help us. Lord, do help us. I'm going to tell you, when I read in the Word of God, every branch that bears, in St. John, the 15th chapter, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and bring forth more fruit. This makes me to know the Lord, that people are going to continue to bear fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of righteousness, and so on. We know what they are, Galatians, the 5th chapter. Love, joy, peace, and so on. Bearing the fruit. Prove yourself. And what else it say?
Know ye not your own self.
Know ye not your own self. Do we know ourselves tonight?
Now that Jesus Christ is in
you. Jesus is in you.
Except
ye be reprobate. You can just call it whatever you want, but to me, you can just trace it down, and we can just say, and not do an injustice, reprobate could mean a castaway. Except to be a reprobate. Oh, may the Lord help us tonight. Is it I? Is it I that's going to fall away? Is it I that's going to be disloyal? Is it I that's going to be unfaithful? Examine ourselves. Folks, this is just as essential as we go along this Christian race. We take inventory, we examine ourselves, we question our own selves, and we just move and lay hold on eternal life and look unto him over in Jude, the 24th verse, I believe it is. It says, unto him, that day will come, the day will not come except to come a falling away first. Jude, the 24th verse says, unto him that is able to keep us from falling. I'm glad for the Word of God.
Amen.
Unto him that is able to keep us from falling, said more than that.
To present us faultless.
Presence of his glory.
Exceeding joy.
Lord, help us with exceeding joy. Keep us from falling. Keep us faultless. Present us before his glory with exceeding joy. This should make us happy. This should just make us, lift it up in our soul. All right, do we have Zechariah, the 13th chapter, and the 8th and 9th verse, maybe? All right, it shall come to pass.
In all of the land.
The Lord said this. It's going to come to pass. I believe it's. We're experiencing it. And what else?
Two parts therein
in all the land shall be cut off and die. And what else?
The third part shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part.
All right. I will bring. Now the Lord is saying this, is he not? The Lord says two parts and all the land is going to be cut off. The third part is going to be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire. Just a minute, Brother Wilson. How can we expect to go through this life and live for God without being tried and tested in this life? Over in Daniel, if I remember right, the 12th chapter, maybe the 10th verse, it said, many shall be purified, made white, and tried. Now, if we're expecting to get to heaven on flowery beds of ease, we better sing 137 in our book and just sing it and believe it and don't expect to get there on flowery beds of ease. Now, Lord, help us tonight. Brother Orr wrote a precious little song when he wrote that. All right, the third part is going to be brought through the fire. I believe this means severe testing, don't you? That's what I believe it means. All right, what else?
And will refine them with silver in the fire.
Refine them. The Lord wants a tried people, white, refined.
And will try them as gold is tried.
Try them as gold is tried.
They shall call on my name, and I will hear them.
They're going to call on my name, and I will hear them. Now, folks, this is God's word.
Yes.
And Lord, help us. Now, someone made a statement to me. I don't know, Brother Clifford or Chuck. I don't want to get it wrong, but if he didn't, it must have been Brother Charles. Like this, he says, you know, people hear things, but they don't get a hold of it. Well, now, I don't believe he meant to be critical. I believe that, too. If we aren't careful, we'll hear things, but we won't get a hold of it. The Lord wants us to get a hold of it. We're going to be tried. There's going to be two-thirds cut off. Is it going to be I? Is it I? The Bible said, the Lord said, in all of the land, two-thirds are going to be cut off. And the third part's going to be brought through the fire. And what else? Try the silver and gold. But they shall call upon the Lord, I believe it said.
Upon
his name. And I will hear them. The Lord wants us to get a hold of this.
And I will say,
oh, bless God.
And they shall say,
bless the Lord. He's going to say that they are my people. And we're going to say, the Lord is my God. Can we say that tonight? Not just Daniel's God, not just the Hebrew's God, not just Elijah's God, not just Paul's God.
Elijah's God still lives today.
Yep, he lives today. Not just his, but it's ours.
Yep.
They're going to say, they're going to call upon him, and he's going to hear. He's going to say, I'm their God, that we're his people, and that we're going to say he's our God. Folks, I believe this tonight. The Lord wants us to get a hold of it. If we will get a hold of it, we won't see as many discouraging times, the depressing times, and maybe distressing moments in ours and thoughts, if we can just get a hold of it. Dear old Sister Smith, we were talking this evening, about Pomona and Sister Smith. I remember so well Sister Smith. To me, she was dear. To me, she's a saint of God. She said that when the falling away come way back there years ago, we know, when the great landslide came and a certain minister that they looked to and depended on and so on, and I'm throwing this in, it should give us an encouraging thought at the ending of it. And she said that she and her sister Rendy, I knew Rendy, I met Rendy, first went to California a while, she said they were troubled. They were living in Anthony, Kansas, and the minister that so leaned on, and he was a great minister. I just thought at one time there just wasn't any in the batter. And they looked to him and leaned on him, and many others had went down, and the time had come that they saw him going down. And they went off in their bedroom, I remember the way she worried, and they was crying to God with all of their soul, weeping before the Lord, crying to the Lord, Lord, what are we going to do? So many has fell away, and the very one we was depending on is going down. Said the Lord told them, I've heard her testify to it, and I believe she got a hold of it. The Lord said, you can live for me if everybody goes down. Folks, I believe it tonight. That's the hopes of heaven. Going to be a falling away. Some is going to betray him. Judas was the last one that betrayed the Lord, remember. Remember, betraying means disloyal and unfaithful. But is it I? Some's going to fall away. The love of men is going to wax cold. This don't make us shout. But it should challenge us and make us think and stir our souls. Yes, it should. All right, he said that the third part's going to be brought through the fire. The third part is going to be tested and tried as silver and gold. But they're going to be able to call upon the Lord. And he is going to say, they are my people. He is going to say, I'm their God. That they are my people, and we will say he is our God. May the Lord help us tonight. He's going to hear us when we call. So tonight, may the Lord help us to turn the searchlight in our own heart, and is it I? Don't have to be. Remember a little text over here in Psalm. We've got Job in Psalm, the 39th chapter. I believe it in the first verse. Now, I trust this will challenge you and help you and stir you as it has me, and maybe it has already, but we trust it'll be renewed. I said, Psalm 39, I said, I will take heed to my ways. Sometimes people falter and fall, and the love of God grow cold because they're just having their own way all the time. And the Lord is teaching me. The Lord, I'm so glad for the faithfulness of God. The Lord is teaching me more and more as we go along the way a little bit better. The meaning over there in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, I believe it is, where he said, turn from our ways and our thoughts. His ways and his thoughts is as high above ours as the heaven is above the earth. And that's, to me, that's just a real straight, a real stirring portion of the Word of God. And it says here, and tells us the great vast difference, and it says here, I said, I will take heed to my ways. You and I need to be taking heed to our ways tonight. Our attitudes of our heart and the way we're going and having our own way, and if things don't go our way, where we're hurt and something wrong with us, and just a lot of ways we can have sometimes it's going to cause us to be untrue and unfaithful and disloyal to the Lord. I say again, we need to say, oh, but is it I? I just can't get away from those three, four words. Is it I? I said, I'll take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I'm afraid today there's a lot of sinning of the tongue going on. So we want to be careful with our tongue. That's one way we need to keep our ways. I will keep my mouth with the bridle while the wicked is before me. So Lord, help us out now. Let's turn over here to the 139th Psalm. I believe it is. I did want to notice this 13th verse of this chapter. 39th chapter, he says, it'd be good to read the 12th verse. Hear my prayer, so we better be doing some praying today. Much praying to the Lord, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. This 12th verse, Psalm 39. Give ear unto my cry, hold not thy peace at my tears. Sound like this man was just crying unto God and praying and shedding tears, did it not? Yeah. When do we do that ever? I believe we're living in the time we need to be weeping before the Lord, folks. I believe this with all of my heart. Do we ever get stirred to tears before the Lord? Do we ever get stirred just down weeping before him, realizing we need so much help and so much grace and so much strength, and to keep our eyes in the right place and our ears in the right place and our heart in the right place, and that we don't to let our love wax cold and get in a place we'll fall away? Dear ones, hold not thy peace at my tears, for I'm a stranger with thee and a sojourner. A stranger is one, I believe we say, unacquainted in this old world, and a sojourner is one that travels, is it not? A stranger and a sojourner. Now, spare me. Brother Probst read this to my husband's funeral, and these last two verses somehow went deep in me. It says, spare me that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. One of these days, they're going to go hence and be no more. They're dropping off all the time. But Lord, he's been sparing me that I may recover strength. Or get back, or reclaim, or regain. Maybe you and I need to pray, Lord, just spare me now and help me to regain more strength, to recover some strength. Maybe we've lost. I don't know. God knows us. What are we talking about? That we won't fall away, that our love won't grow cold, and so on. That we'll be able to be in that third part that's brought through the fire. I don't think we ought to pray, Lord, don't let me be tested. Don't let me be tried. Don't let me be tried as silver and gold, but just help me to be able to stand. Help me to be able to come through. Help me to pray, and you hear our cries, and help me to be able to say, this is my God, and you can say, you are my child. Oh, that's the cry of my soul tonight. That's the breaking and the longing and the crying of my soul for me and for you, dear ones. I carry a burden for the saints. I tell the folks out in Oak Grove, around you, Louisiana, and down in Hammond, Louisiana, where we try to help them out some, that they are the burden of my heart, and you are too, and everywhere I go among the saints. Because sinners are not going to get saved if saints don't be saints and stand true. That's right. That's right. That is true. If saints won't be saints, who will be saints? When you see someone look on and see others not living like they ought to, I tell you, dear ones, I'm often reminded of the 12 spies. 10 brought back the bad report and 2 brought back the good. 2 said, we're well able, and the other 10, they just emphasized the giants and the conditions and so on. They didn't put their emphasis on God and the power of God and so on. So tonight, you and I better be careful where we're putting our emphasis on. We better look at God, the power of God, the great God, His Word, His promises. Now it says here, over in the 139th Psalm, give us 2 or 3 verses here. Oh Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. The Lord does know us. Thou knowest my down sinning, my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Now this is something the Lord knows us then, doesn't He? He knew that night that Judas was going to be trained. Thou compassest my path, my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. The Lord knows us tonight. And He wants us to take heed to our ways. The Lord knows our ways. He knows all about us. He says here, 23rd verse, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. He does. He knows them. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I'm glad for the way that the Lord will lead us if we will let Him. So we don't have to fall away. We don't have to grow cold. He'll lead us in that path that we can keep in touch with God. We can keep on fire with God. We can have the great grace upon our soul. You read over there in the 3rd chapter, or the 4th chapter, I believe it is, of Acts, where the brethren was going through some testing and persecution and laid hold on and so on and commanded not to speak and so on in the name of the Lord, not to teach in His name, and because of the great miracle in the 3rd chapter of John, of this man that's 40 years old that was healed from birth, and it created quite a stir, and yet many was brought to the Lord and through this, if I remember correctly. And the council and all, they just counseled about it and finally decided to let them go and forbid them to speak in that name. And so it said that they asked them, should they obey them or obey God? And anyway, it went on. They cried mighty to the Lord. The Lord didn't manifest Himself to them. And if you remember, anyway, to make it kind of short, it went down to about the 33rd verse of the 4th chapter of Acts. And the thought that I'm thinking of right now, it says, and great grace was upon them all. Great grace. So if you and I can keep in the channel and the avenue that great grace is upon our soul. Through the testing, the trying, but they cried to the Lord. They said, God, You made heaven and earth, sea and everything in it. And You're able and manifest Yourself to us and so on. And God did. They prayed. It was in one accord. They prayed. The place was shaken, filled with the Holy Ghost. And great grace was upon them all. And God bless our soul tonight. God wants us to be in that channel of great grace, dear ones. We won't fall away, and the love won't grow cold. But you and I, as Brother Trimble, I quote him. I just can't help it sometimes. Brother Trimble used to say, we're never going to make it. They'll work at this thing daily. Brother Clifford, you know that, don't you? He exhorted us daily to work at this thing. Great grace was among them all. Well, who's going to fall away? Who's going to grow cold? Who's going to be cut off? Is it I? Don't have to be. Folks, it don't have to be. All right, again here, just another verse or so, we'll soon be finished. It says here in 119th Psalm, "Thou art my portion, O Lord," 57th verse. "Thou art my portion, O Lord." Can we say that tonight? If we will continue to maintain and let God be our portion, I'll tell you, dear one, that's all we need, is God to be our portion. That's the greatest we need. If we have everything else and don't have God, we're in a bad shape. If we can have God, continue to let Him be our portion, O Lord. I've said that I would keep Thy words. Can we say that tonight? Can we say? We purpose in our heart.
Amen.
By His help and by His grace. You know something I heard recently someone say. Just, I believe they was in earnest in what they said. I think they really felt that way, but I just couldn't agree with it. They said we better be careful what we say we're going to do when our trying time comes. The enemy's got advantage right there. If I'm a scared to say by the grace of God and the power of God, I'm going to stand true. Don't you believe the Lord wants us to say that? And believe it and mean it, purpose it in our heart, just like didn't the Hebrew children say when they were told to bow down to the image, I believe it was, they said, our God whom we serve continually is able. But be it known, but if not, be it known unto thee, we will not bow down. Wasn't that what they said? I believe that's right, isn't it? They said, we will not bow down. Can we say that? Is that boasting? Is that wrong? No, I don't believe it is. By the grace of God, the power of God, by the help of God, remember, we got to be like Paul over in the 1 Corinthians, maybe the, I'm not quite sure which chapter. Anyway, he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. So by the grace of God, by the help of God only, acknowledging God in all of our ways, the word said he'll direct our path, we can say, I will not bow down, so to speak. I will be true. Folks, I'm endeavoring to have my heart fixed. By the grace of God, the power of God, the strength of God, the leadings of the Holy Spirit, I will be true. I don't think that's wrong. I don't think that's boasting. I don't think that's boasting when we say that. Someone said to me not long ago, and I believe that they really meant well. I believe they did. They said, we'd better not boast and say what we're going to do when our severe tests come. Well, I'd belittle God if I felt that way. I would feel like that I was belittling God, that He wasn't able to keep me through the time and brought through the fire. There's a little text over in, we want to read some more here, but someone turn and read the 43rd chapter of Isaiah. And I believe maybe the first and the second verses at this time will soon be true. Oh, I pray the Lord to help us, dear ones. This is the only reason why I'm here. The only reason why I was willing to have two or three nights meeting, we hope to say something to bless your dear souls. We hope to say something to encourage your dear hearts. We hope to say something to challenge your heart, to stir our soul. May the Lord help us tonight. Someone, Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. Anybody, and I believe the first maybe and the second verses is what we want.
Thus saith the Lord.
The Lord's a talking again. Thus saith the Lord that created thee. O Jacob,
and he that formed thee,
O Israel,
fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name,
thou art mine, again, this is the Lord talking, thou art mine, Sister King, thou art mine, and what else?
When thou passest through the waters,
all right, now listen, when you go through the waters,
I will be with you.
I'm going to be with you, why can't we say? I can't be saved. By the grace of God, the power of God, and the help of the Lord, when we go through the water of trials, the Lord says, I'm going to be with thee.
Through the rivers. They shall not overflow thee.
He won't let more come on us than we can bear. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 will teach us that, if you just turn and read that. When you go through the river, they're not going to overflow thee. The rivers of and waters of trials and temptations and persecutions and maybe feeling of desertion and many things. It won't be more than we can bear if we just get a hold of it, I believe, as Charles said. Don't just hear it. Don't just know it. Well, we know the word said, but let's get a hold of it, dear one, and it get a hold of us. All right, what else? When
thou walkest through the fire,
when you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned.
Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee.
May the Lord help us tonight. I am the Lord thy God.
The Holy One of
Israel.
Thy Savior.
Thy Savior.
I gave Egypt for thy ransom.
All right. Egypt for thy ransom.
Ethiopia and Sheba for thee.
All right. Maybe that's far enough. Or are there some more that's good to read?
Since thou wast precious in
precious my sight. Precious in my sight.
Thou hast been honorable.
Honorable.
And I have loved thee.
I've loved thee.
Therefore will I give them for thee.
All right.
People
for thy life. Thou hast been honorable. So we be honorable, we'll be loyal, we'll be faithful, we'll be true. We won't betray him, will we? May the Lord help us tonight. Thou art my portion, O Lord. Oh, this blesses my soul. This thrills me through and through. When I feel like I can look up to him and say, Lord, you're my portion. I want to maintain this saying until I draw my last breath, don't you? Don't you want to be true? Is it I? No, Lord. Help us, it won't be I, it won't be you. Betraying, disloyal, untrue, unfaithful. May the Lord help us tonight, dear ones. I've said that I would keep thy words. It's purpose in our heart. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart, with all of our heart that seek after him. That great grace will be upon our soul. Grace sufficient. Grace to abound. When Paul, over the 2 Corinthians 12th chapter, when Paul sought the Lord to remove that thorn in the flesh, he sought him 3 times, I believe it said. The Lord heard him. The Lord answered him. But it didn't tell us it took the thorn away. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And my strength is made perfect in your weakness. What attitude did Paul take? Most gladly, he said. We can't do that now in human strength. Doesn't make a difference how much we know, how white our heads are, how long we live for God. It yet takes a full flow of the grace of God in our heart and mind. A full flow. Folks, I believe this. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Now be merciful to me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. So sometimes if we'll just examine ourselves and think in our way, we may have to do some changing to keep from falling.
So,
I believe this. I wouldn't be telling you this. I've had to do it. The word teaches me. So may the Lord help us tonight. Think about ourselves. I think we can be kind of selfish right here, if you want to call it. Think about ourselves, what we need to do more than the next person. And when we do it ourselves, then we're able to help the next person. We have some of that over in the 7th chapter of Matthew, you know, teaches us about the mote and the beam. The Lord wants to help us. Truly he does. I thought on the ways, I turned my feet unto thy testimony. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandment. Well, maybe that's enough. Lots I could say, lots is on my mind, but I feel like that's enough. So, dear one, the Lord is able to help us to be loyal, faithful, true. He that is faithful will receive a crown of life. But the disciples knew that somebody was going to betray him, and people will betray him, but is it I? I trust it won't be you, and I trust it won't be me. But let's examine ourselves, let's ask ourselves a question quite often. Are we being faithful? Are we being true? Are we being loyal? And to maintain good works, the Word of God teaches us. May the Lord help you to gather some thoughts from the Word of God tonight that will help your soul. I trust it's worth your while to sacrifice feelings and time and come out to the house of God. Now may the Lord bless you with my prayer.